First Thessalonians chapter 5, and then what we want to do is let's find verse number 16. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. The verse that I want us to concentrate on is tucked in the midst of many other verses. The verse is the one that says in verse 19, quench not the spirit. That quenching of the spirit is found in the midst of some other things that God wants us to notice. Let me pray for us, and I just ask you a little bit, pray that I get clarity for my voice and mind. You know, cold medicine does not help your brain. It may help your chest and your voice a little bit, but right now I'm worried I'm about to say some really stupid things. So let's pray the preacher does not embarrass himself and we get something out of this sermon. Father, bless us, please. I don't want to disappoint you. And God, I love being in church. I love being here. I don't want to miss it. I'm not looking for an excuse not to be at church. But God, it's my job today to preach. Strengthen my mind. Strengthen my voice. I don't want us to miss a truth that's going to help our lives. Please, Spirit of God, you do the rest. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. The word quench there would be a lot like our word extinguish. The Bible said, quench not the spirit. You know, there are a lot of ways to put out a fire. You could talk to old Smokey the Bear, and he could tell you what to do about putting out a fire. I have a friend. He's virtually a genius. He's a very, 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 very capable man. He's a very successful man. That capability, that high IQ, that genius about him, he's a very wealthy man. He's a scientist, he's a chemist, he's an engineer, a very capable man. And he has used that capability. He's made money in the industry of firefighting. And I've been in more than one conversation with him about it. One of his passions in life is putting out fires. And he's worked with the United States government, and he's helped the military and all sorts of things. Well, I'm not real smart, you know. He's real smart, and I'm not real smart. And one day I asked him, I said, well, what's one of the quickest and simplest and ways to put out a fire? He said, well, I would recommend, and he said this, NaHCO3. I said, oh, okay, thanks. Appreciate that. That's a lab name. And I got from him a small sampling of it, and that's it right there in that bag. To some of you, that looks like the cocaine that you bought illegally. But that's it. That's a small sample of it. Sodium hydrogen bicarbonate, and by the way, the word "bi" there, it's a prefix for two. It contains twice the carbonate than other elements within it. But he said that'll put a fire out very, very quickly. It's bi, it's got double power or a double strength. You say, well, boy, I bet that stuff's expensive. No, it's baking soda. Now, I said, now you're talking my language. Now I understand that. It'll put out a fire. And today, I want to talk to you about, watch out, folks. I think in life, there are what I call, there's some baking soda Christians. And that's the title of my sermon today. Baking soda Christians. There are people out there, if you're not careful, they'll put out your fire. It's happening in our church. I've watched young people that were on fire for God, they'll let somebody put out their fire. I've watched it happen among married couples in our church. They get around someone that they'll douse their fire. Watch out for baking soda, Christians. Let me explain. It would be best, maybe, I'll go backwards, and you'll think somewhat unrelated, but I'm going to take a few steps backward to get us where we're going. First of all, every human has a spirit. Listen, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved." Now, the word spirit there has a little S. It's not capitalized. God is saying that you and I have a spirit. Man is made up of three parts. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. You were created in God's likeness. God is called a triune God. The word tri is the prefix three. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a three-part God. You were created as a three-part being. You are body, soul, and spirit, like an egg. There's the white, there's the yolk, and there's a shell. Now, but you have a spirit. Have you ever heard someone say, he's a spitfire of a young man, he's a spunky young man? Now, you are to keep your spirit healthy. Now, I'm not just talking about the Holy Spirit now. Don't be confused. You have a spirit. Maybe a better way to describe the spirit part of you is you have an attitude. You have an attitude. And some parents said just recently their kids, they had an attitude. But that is a part of it. You have a spirit. You're to keep your spirit healthy. You're to keep your attitude healthy. You are to control your spirit. Proverbs 16:32, it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit," small s, "his spirit, than he that taketh a city." Now, you say, "Preacher, you keep talking about small or lowercase s opposed to big or uppercase or capital S. What's the difference?" Small s, your spirit. Capital S means that's God's spirit, and always in the scripture, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is to be capitalized because it is a proper name. By the way, it's a prominent position in the Godhead. So, we are to keep our spirit healthy. We're to control our spirit. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his spirit is as a city that is broken down." Again, that's a little s. God said, you have a spirit, and you're to make sure your spirit is kept healthy. Your spirit is to be strong. Your little s will affect the big S, the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, there's a story, and many of you will know of it. I'll rehearse just enough of it for those that this would be new to you. Elijah was a great man of God. He was the first man of God of the two that I'm going to mention that came on the scene. He had someone that followed him by the name of Elisha. So you have an Elijah, he's first. You have an Elisha, he's second. Elijah was going to go to heaven. It was asked of Elijah, Elisha was asked, "What would you like to have?" Elisha said, "Before this guy goes to heaven, I would like to give a double portion of his spirit." Now, that word spirit in that story is small s. You say, what's that mean? Elijah, the older preacher, had a great spiritual attitude. Elisha, the young preacher, seen it and said, "Give me a double dose of that good attitude." Well, when Elijah left, Elisha stepped up. Now, in regard to miracles, Elijah did 8 miracles in life. Guess how many miracles Elisha did? 16. But that wasn't the biggest deal. I think Elisha got a double dose of good spiritual attitude from Elijah because that's something he requested. You know, folks, you need to get your spirit right and keep it right. Your spirit is a very important thing. Your attitude is very important. So, the first thing I said was, every human has a spirit, little s. Now, born-again people, they get a second spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit. And when you get saved, you've all heard the terminology, ask Jesus to come into your heart. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, the one that moves into your heart is actually the Spirit of God. He's a part of that triune God, the three-part God. God, he's the one that moves in. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, capital S, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. So, listen to this. Everybody has a spirit, little s. That's your attitude. Saved people ask Jesus into their heart, then God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, capital S, moves into their heart. Now you have your spirit and you have his spirit. Now, God compares his Holy Spirit to fire. He compares it to fire. Luke 3:16, it says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Luke 24:32, it said this, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us, by the way? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have his spirit burning within you. We sing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Really, that light is the Spirit of God that burns within us. Like the flame of a kerosene lantern, that spirit is to burn within the Christian. You are created in God's likeness. God has the Holy Spirit and compares it to a fire. You have a spirit, and you're to keep your spirit on fire for God. You were created in his likeness. Folks, the Holy Spirit of God and your spirit, they're to be on fire for God. Your spirit yields to his spirit, and it'll create a good attitude. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit influence your spirit, so your spirit is on fire for God. Now, I got to tell you something. You've got to be careful not to let people quench your spirit or the Spirit of God in your life. So number three, don't let anything or anybody quench your fire. Don't let people destroy your attitude. Don't let people quench. Don't let people water down your attitude. You need to protect both spirits in your life. You're to protect the Holy Spirit and the fire that God wants you to have in your life. And you're to protect your spirit. Watch out for your attitude. So we're watching out for two S's. The big S, Holy Spirit. The little s, my spirit. And I've got to be careful to protect it. You need to protect his spirit. So that influence in your life is powerful. His fire is part of your life. I'm to protect the Spirit of God in the church. Hey, you know one of the reasons why I say turn off your stupid cell phone so it doesn't interrupt the service? Because that could quench the Holy Spirit. One reason why I say we don't walk in and out of the service like we're down at the theater getting popcorn and soda and jelly beans is because this is a church service, and if the Spirit of God's going to do his work, people have to have their attention up here. They've got to concentrate on what's going on. I've got to protect the spirit of the church. I've got to protect the movement of God's Spirit in the church. Protecting your fire is for your sake, God's sake, and for the sake of others. Let's protect one another's fire. You know something? I want to protect your attitude. You ought to want to protect my attitude. We ought to protect the church's attitude. We ought to protect the Spirit of God. Hey, I feel somehow that God's Spirit is very evident in our church. I feel like this isn't an average place and an average church service and average services. I feel like God's here. I feel like he's here. All sorts of people are having a meeting today, but God doesn't show up in supernatural power in all of them. And that's something worth having. Hey, let's not spook the dove of God away. What we don't want to do, don't put out the fire. Don't put out the fire. There's a way. The Bible said there in 1 Corinthians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. What's it talking about? Don't let things quench the fire. I call the sermon baking soda Christians. That'll put out a fire. It was very unique to me that we are trying to protect two spirits, the Holy Spirit and your spirit. This is made of bicarbonate. Bi meaning two. Double the ability to put out the fire. You've got to understand something. We are to protect our spirit. We are to protect the working of the Holy Spirit in the church. Now, what could hurt it? Well, about the only thing that comes along that can hurt those spirits are people. People. Your piece of toast this morning probably didn't affect your spirit. You say, well, my wife burned it. Okay, then it was your wife that affected your spirit, not your burnt toast. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you very simply. Tuck within the scripture of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We read it, verse 16 through 22. I'll show you what God said protects the spirit. If you'll do. Now, some of you, that you're depressed all the time. You got a bad attitude all the time. You see the negative of everything. You're so good at being critical about everything. If you'll listen to me, I can help your spirit a little bit. And some of you need your spirit doctored up. The Holy Spirit doesn't work with some of you because you got your spirit in such a nasty state. Listen to me. And let me show you something about the protection of the Holy Spirit and the protection of your spirit. And you're going to have to be careful that you don't let the baking soda Christians douse your fire. How do we protect our fire? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians, the passage we just read, and remember, tucked right in it, is quench not the Spirit. Here's what we see. We see it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, don't quench the Spirit, said rejoice evermore. You say, I want to protect my spirit. I want to protect the church spirit. Well, God just told us one of the steps. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in things. Rejoice in eternal things. Some rejoice in the Lord a little, but you ought to rejoice always. Folks, rejoice that you're saved. Rejoice in God's greatness. Rejoice in heaven. Rejoice in your eternal security. Now, listen to me. You will not have a good spirit if you don't learn how to rejoice. And you know what rejoice means? We've got all sorts of prefixes today. R-E is the prefix in the front of the word joy. It means again joy. Look, you got saved. Think about when you got saved and enjoy it again. You got an understanding of the Bible. Think about what God did for you and enjoy it again. Hey, you need to look at what God's done. God's saying, look at the bright side of things and stop looking at the negative side of everything, and you'll get your spirit doctored up, and you'll keep yourself from destroying the spirit of your home. You'll keep yourself from destroying the spirit in your marriage and the spirit in your church. Rejoice. Watch out, though. There are baking soda Christians out there, aren't there? Watch out. How can I keep my spirit healthy? I'm going to rejoice evermore. What else am I going to do? It says pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to come up here in the church and get on your knees 24/7 and pray. You know what it means? Don't give up on prayer. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Did you know you don't have to be on your knees to pray? It's a good thing to do. It's a position of humility. But you can be driving up the road and pray. And at that point, I'd rather you not close your eyes. In essence, what it's talking about is pray about everything. Pray and pray. Pray for the protection of your spirit. Pray for the protection of your church's spirit. Have a prayer life, not just at mealtime. A scheduled time. We sing sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that takes me from a world of care. Hey, and we ought to. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to protect the big S, Holy Spirit, in your church, and the little S, your spirit, you're going to have to learn how to rejoice instead of complain. You're going to have to learn to pray instead of fret. What are we doing? We're protecting your spirit. We're protecting your fire. Thirdly, In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks. You just be thankful. There's a bright side to everything. And I'm a realist. I understand if you had a flat tire, that's a bad thing. But you still have three that are not flat. You know what we can do? We never thank God that our tire's not flat. When's the last time you walked out of your house, walked out the driveway and said, praise God, all four tires have air? You don't do it. You say nothing about the tires till one's flat. And then you look to God and say, what's going on here? Why don't you take care of me? I think God looks down and says, you low life. I keep your tires inflated 24/7 for 5 years in a row. You get one flat tire and all you do is gripe and complain. You want a good spirit? Rejoice. You want a good spirit? Pray. You want a good spirit? Give thanks. Be thankful. And in that verse it says, in everything give thanks. Here's what we'll do. We'll give thanks before the hard times. We'll give thanks after the hard times. But did you hear the way it was worded? In everything give thanks. You're to give thanks in the battle. In the hardship. That's where God finds out what you're really made of. Who can't rejoice before the battle and after the battle? God's looking for somebody that loves Him when all the chips are down. God's not looking for the people to put their tail between their lungs and... tail between their lungs. I knew something was coming out. It would be bad. God's not looking for someone to put their tail between their legs and run during hardship. God wants you, if you want a good spirit, just learn how to take the hard times and keep loving God and be faithful to Him in those times. What are you talking about? Watch out. There are fire extinguishers. There's something that can put out your fire. That old baking soda of life. So, what do I do? I'm going to rejoice evermore. It'll keep my spirit healthy. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to give thanks. Then it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Folks, if you will decide that you want the will of your God, will of God in your life more than anything else, you're going to do far better in life. Wanting God's will cause you to want to protect that fire. I ought to pray. I ought to rejoice. I ought to give thanks. And I ought to say, God, I just want to be in your will. That's all I want. That's all I want in every area of life. You know what being in God's will means? You say, I want whatever you want. That'd be fine with me. You know why some of you end up depressed? You didn't get what you want. You say, I didn't expect that. No, you expected something else. You had expectation. My dream didn't come true. You're not supposed to want your dream. You're supposed to want God's dream for your life. You want to protect your spirit? You want to protect your fire? You want to protect your attitude? You want what God wants. You know what you'll get? What God wants. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. Rejoice. Then the Bible says, despise not prophesying. You know what prophesying are? It's not somebody that comes up with something new to tell you. It's preaching. Right. It's teaching. You know what that means? Don't despise the preacher. Don't despise the preaching. Don't get mad about it. There's some of you, you mentally freak out every time I preach. Keep talking to me again. If I'm talking to you, you blame God. I didn't prepare this sermon with any individual in mind. Not one of you. Not one. You're being bothered. You must be being bothered from the inside out. But despise not. Don't despise it. Don't make it unimportant. Let the teaching of God's Word guide you. Let the teaching of God's Word change you. Let the teaching of God's Word correct you. Don't criticize it. Don't push it away. You won't have a healthy spirit if you don't let the preaching of the Word of God keep your spirit healthy. What else am I to do? It says, prove all things. Say, what's that mean? Am I supposed to, yeah, I can't even ooh right. That's spooky. I'm going to try the spirits. We're going to get a Ouija board and some candles. And No, it means compare everything that's going on to the Scripture. That's what it means to try We're not going to put them on trial and use your emotions to do it. That'll whack us all out. What we're going to do is we're going to try the spirits. Not going to try to figure out how we feel about it. You just look at what's happening and say, what's the scripture say? Whatever the scripture says, that brings solidity to my life. Keep your life hot for God. Then it said, hold fast to that which is good. What's it mean? Hang on to the Bible. Hang on to prayer. Hang on to Jesus. Hang on to the truth. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, it was expecting that you would understand that meant abstain from evil. But it didn't say just abstain from evil. It said abstain from even the appearance of evil. Don't even do something that looks like it could be wrong. Now, so what's God doing? God's saying, I want to protect your spirit. Don't let things quench your spirit. Don't let things put out your fire. How am I going to do it? He told us. He said, I want you to rejoice. I want you to pray. I want you to give thanks. I want you to listen to the preacher. I want you to want the will of God. I want you to prove what you do according to the Bible. I want you to hold on to good things. And I don't want you to even look like you're up to no good. He said, that'll doctor up your spirit. That'll keep the fire in your life from being quenched. Now, you know the thing that quenches our spirits the most? It's people. It's people. I tell people, I travel and preach. I tell people all the time, the ministry wouldn't be so bad if it were not for people. Huh. Now, what's this all about? Now, in the next few minutes, and most of the sermon is over with, but in the next few minutes, I want to explain, you better watch out for what I call baking soda Christians. You see, that baking soda has exactly what it takes to quench your fire, to quench your spirit, to quench your spiritual attitude. Now, what's the quencher? Who's that quencher? Well, I think you're going to find that people can do that. Now, after I give the first point, you're going to understand how the rest of this sermon concludes. If rejoicing evermore fires you up, you get around somebody that won't rejoice, what'll happen? They'll quench your fire. The people that won't sing in church, they'll quench your fire. The people that will laugh at a dirty joke at work, at school, behind the barn, but they won't enjoy church. Those are spirit quenchers. Those are baking soda Christians. So I say to you, if rejoicing evermore sharpens our spirit, you get around somebody that's not a rejoicer, then they're going to put some of that baking soda right on your spirit. What else? Well, we found out that praying will light our fire. Praying keeps our spirit healthy. I'll tell you this then. You get around people that don't want anything to do with prayer. You say, Brother Owens, how in the world would I ever know if someone doesn't pray? Oh, it's easy. They're easily analyzed. Non-prayers are critical talkers and negative talkers all the time. This is the negative side of everything. I'll guarantee it. If I could right now and I could say, right, let's pick out the two most negative talkers in this entire building. If we could, we'd find out you don't pray. You don't pray like you should. Why? I have never met a prayer warrior that is a constant negative critical talker. Amen. Ever. Amen. They'll talk about prayer, but talking about praise is not, prayer is not praying. So, if you're around someone, oh, they see the negative. They can find out what's wrong with you. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm unsatisfied with this. I'll tell you what. They're not a prayer. And they are going to douse your fire. That is a baking soda Christian. A non-rejoicer is a baking soda Christian. They'll douse your attitude's fire. Those that are unthankful. Now remember, if thankfulness helps us to have a healthy attitude, The lack of thankfulness will douse that spiritual fire in our life. And if you get around somebody that's unthankful, then what'll happen? They'll douse your fire. Grumblers, complainers, teenagers. Let me tell you something. There's some of you, you get around some teenage friend and all they do is gripe about their dad and gripe about their mom and gripe about this and gripe about their clothes and gripe about their duties at home. They'll put your fire out. You get around someone like that. Hey, married people, I would rather be a married couple with no friends than be a married couple with complaining friends. So we just got to have somebody to spend time with. If you're going to go out with them, all you're going to do is gripe and complain and gripe and complain and gripe and complain. They will put your fire out. You've got to protect the spirit in your life. We're not to quench the spirit in the church. We're not to quench the spirit in our home. We're not to quench the spirit. Our spirit. The unthankful are that way. The non-prayers are that way. Those that won't rejoice are that way. Hey, the ones that are not interested in the will of God, they'll put out your fire. Remember, God said, if you just get to the point where you just want what I want, everything will be fine. You'll have a better attitude. Your attitude about your place in life is always affected negatively when you don't get what you want. When I don't get what I want, when my plan didn't come through, when I wasn't where I wanted to be, folks, don't you know we're supposed to be where God wants us to be? We're supposed to do what God wants us to do. We're to become what God wants us to become. And if you'll do that, I don't think you're going to find disappointment. But you're disappointed when you don't get your way. And God said, you better watch you get around people like that. You get around people that, hey, you know that everybody in here, and I don't know if I've got any other mic, that's fine. You get around anybody in here, and their interest is not to be in the will of God. They have the total potential of dousing your fire. Yes. I'd be able to point to everybody in this building. Your ultimate goal in life ought to be in the will of God, doing exactly what God wants you to do. And the same for you, and 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 you. You ought to be concerned that you're in the will of God. Where you work, you're in the will of God. Where you go, you're in the will of God. Where you're at church, you're in the will of God. You get around somebody that really doesn't matter to them, they're going to douse your fire for a desire to be in the will of God. Well, Brother Owens, I'm only here because I can't figure out anywhere else to go. That's a pretty sad way to live your life. You ought to want to be where God wants you to be. And if you get around people that have no concern about that, they'll douse your fire. Some of you have already been affected. So you got around somebody, they really don't care. They'll take the edge off of you. Listen, preaching, and we know it said despise not prophesying. Why? God said, if you'll enjoy the preaching, you'll let it groom you, grow you, it'll make you strong. It'll help the big spirit to work in your life. It will make your little spirit healthy. You get around somebody that's a baking soda Christian, you get around them, and they're truth rejectors. They criticize the truth rather than try to live it. They're unfaithful to church because it's not that big of a deal. It's a very big deal. You want to know what my belief is? You join this church. God wanted you to have all the sermons that this pastor preaches. All of them. God had a plan to help your life so you would hear what your pastor would tell you. You say, I'm not trying. That's not vanity about me being the pastor. I believe that about every independent fundamental Baptist church on the face of the earth. You joined it. God said, that man will help you spiritually. And you're going to have to learn. And some of you, the reason why you got a bad spirit is you're not connected. You don't see it. Truth rejectors will affect you, though. Get around somebody that's a truth rejecter, they will douse your spiritual fire. They will do it every time. They don't ever talk about Bible truth. They're not really interested in it. Now, the Bible talks about holding fast to that which is true. You get around the wishy-washy Christians that believe one thing one day and something totally different the next, they're going to douse your fire. Even all the way to the abstaining of the appearance of evil. And what am I telling you? You have a spirit. A little S, an attitude. When you got saved, you got the big S. Those two are to work in tandem to make your life victorious, happy. If you're not careful, people will come along and they'll douse your attitude. They'll douse the Spirit's work in your life. How do we protect it? We protect it exactly the way God told us there in 1 Thessalonians. He said, I want you to rejoice. I want you to pray. I want you to give thanks. I want you to want my will. I want you to let the preaching help you. I want you to prove all things, meaning let the Bible be your guide. Hold on to right. Don't do evil. But if you get around people that are guilty of not doing those things, you will douse the spirits, two spirits, in your life. Now, you say, well, what do I do? Well, I think there are times you ought to be friendly toward people, but not best friends. Not best friends. I love everybody in our church, visitors, non-members, and members. I love them all. But you have to know, there are people that I will not spend an abundance of time with because they got bad attitudes. You say, you're the pastor. I know, but I only take so much. Did you know it's my job to protect my spirit so you have a healthy pastor? I'm supposed to do that. I got to protect my spirit. And you need to protect your spirit. Get around the ones that want their spirit protected and yours protected. And if you've never thought about it, it's time for some of you. You know, some of you wives, it'd be good if you protected your husband's spirit. Protect his spirit. Don't douse it. Husbands, protect your wife's spirit. Every teenage boy in here, learn something. Learn to protect your mother's spirit. Not damage it. Protect it. We, as church members, you know what we need to do? We need to protect one another's spirits. There's enough bad and negative and depression out in the nasty world. Why do we want to drag it in here and dump on everybody all that negative? I call the sermon, though, baking soda Christians. You get too many baking soda Christians in a church, you end up with a baking soda church where the Spirit and the fire of God is put out. Those are terrible churches. Dead, dry, lifeless. Nobody wants to be a part. That's not what we want. And that's not what we have. You say, are you trying to fix something that's broken? No. I'm trying to keep something from ever breaking. Because we have an excellent spirit around here. Oh, we do. But you got to keep it safe. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the spirit. So don't despise prophecy. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from evil. Two spirits, both fiery, both strong. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, specifically, I've approached the Christian. I've said to the born again, be careful with your spirit and the spirit of others. But if you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. You need to get born again. You have a spirit. If you're not saved, you need the Holy Spirit to move into your heart. You do that by realizing you're a sinner, realizing that Jesus died for you, and He wants to save you from your sin. You're a sinner, and you deserve to go to hell, but Jesus, He's got a gift called salvation. If you've never been saved, I wish you'd ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And if you'll do that, you'll get that big spirit, that big S. He'll come in. He'll help your little spirit, and your spirit and His spirit together will help you to have victory and happiness and the peace of life. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't single you out. I won't come to you. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. All right? If you're not saved, I'll tell you this. If you're willing, in a moment we're going to give an altar call. There'll be some people coming. If you'll come, if you'll just step out of your seat and come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Others, Christians, there's some of you, you're saved. You know it. Can I recommend to you that you protect your spirit? Make sure you do the things that will give that fire to your spirit and give freedom and openness to the Spirit of God in your life. But watch out. There are folks in here, you're hanging around. You've been around people. They are quenching your spirit. You need to watch it, and you need to make sure you're not one that's a baking soda Christian. Who among the Christians here would either say, "Preacher, I need to guard my spirit more," or "I need to fix it so I'm not a spirit quencher myself"? But God's spoken to your heart about it. Would you raise your hand? There are hands up already. You raise your hand and say, "Oh, I need that. I need to hear that." Amen. You may put your hand down. I need some of you Christians to be willing to come and get on your knees. Be an example to the lost that the altar's not a scary place to be. But some of you need to come in humility and just come down here and say, "God, help me. Help me to protect my spirit and help me not to be one that throws baking soda on somebody else's spirit." We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Just say to the person beside you, "Excuse me," and step out. You come and get on your knees and take a moment and say, "Help me to protect my spirit, God." Or maybe you need to come and say, "God, I don't want to hinder somebody else's spirit." If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you present yourself for baptism. We would be glad to arrange for you to be baptized. You just come. If you've been saved and you've been baptized after your salvation and you're looking for a church, you're welcome to join membership here. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you come. It's the way God commands it to be done. It's the way God teaches it to be done. You come if you need to be saved. You come if you need to get right with God. You come if you need to get baptized. You come if you need to join the church. You may just need to come to start protecting your spirit and say, "God, I've got to separate from some people." And I'm not telling you to be rude to them. You just need to stop being around them. They're throwing the baking powder on your fire. They're dousing your spirit, quenching, as the Bible calls it. And if they're quenching your attitude, they're affecting the Holy Spirit in your life as well. This is the last time through the song.